Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. We've got a wonderful show and a great guest in studio with us today. So for all of those listeners on our Facebook live stream, don't worry, you don't have to look at me for the whole hour. You'll get to see my guest in a moment. But first, of course, we have our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. So let's get the show started. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from Mike Dooley and the universe. Of course, not everyone understands you. It takes crazy to know crazy. It takes sexy to know sexy. And most assuredly, it takes cool to know cool. Yeah, all right, the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe, always cheering us on. And let's see what Abraham has in store for us. It doesn't really matter what religion anybody believes. If their life is working, and there may be many different approaches to life that are working very well, then why not let them believe whatever they want to believe? It's all working in the way that it is supposed to be. There are religions that you wouldn't want anything to do with that are perfect mechanisms for the people who are involved in them. And therefore, they are a very good thing. Abraham. I kind of like this quote from Abraham, kind of a little bit different compared to what Abraham usually talks about. But it really makes a wonderful point. You know, sometimes we just get like so hung up on belief systems and what other people think and what other people are into. And it, like, if it works for them, what difference does it make to us? And for me, it's a personally a little bit of a pet peeve of, when other people are always trying to convince me of what they believe in. And, you know, I just kind of have this attitude. I go, well, like, if it appeals to me and if it's interesting, if it's good, I'll find it. You don't have to convince me that you're right. And you know, what Abraham's really trying to say is, hey, look, you know what? In the end, it doesn't really matter, quote unquote, who's right or who's wrong, because there's no such thing as right or wrong. It's, does it work for them? Does it work for their life? You know, they may be extreme in one direction or another, but are they happy? Are they a good person? Are they living life the way people should be living their lives? If they are, great. Why are you trying to change them? You know, I think so often, like, people are so out to enroll people in their ideas of what the way things are supposed to be, maybe because they don't believe it enough themselves. So they feel like, oh, well, I got to get other people to believe in it. So then it makes them feel better about what they believe in because they're, you know, not so sure about it. So the more people they get to believe, they're like, oh, okay, it must be right. It must be good because I got my best friend into it and I got this person into it and I got that person into it. So, you know what, Abraham and saying, don't sweat it. You know what? If it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, change it. And if it works for someone else, great for them. It doesn't have to be what you believe in, right? I mean, this world is so full of diversity and so full of so many interesting and different viewpoints. I mean, that's what makes things so interesting sometimes. So, you know what? Let's chill out a little bit and let's, you know, as the old expression goes, let's live and let live. Right? And if people aren't interested in what you believe in, you don't have to tell them about it. If they don't want to know what's like working for you, it's okay. You don't have to share. Save it for the people who are interested, right? I mean, why spend all that effort trying to convince somebody who doesn't want to be convinced when you could be talking to people who actually like you and believe in the same things and are interested in the same stuff, right? Isn't that a much better use of our energy than trying to convince people of things they don't want to be convinced of? I don't get it. Anyway, two amazing quotes today. Lots of fun stuff from the universe and from Abraham. I hope you enjoyed our quotes of the week. Of course, next week we'll have new ones in store for you today. And now it is my pleasure to introduce you to Kara Bradley, as I switch the video in our live stream. Oops. She's a little dark there. I don't know. And, okay, we'll see. This is Kara. So, in the final race of her college track career, author and mental strength coach Kara Bradley beat her personal best by a remarkable 6 seconds. Really?
Yeah.
That's, like, pretty cool.
It's a lot.
Wow. Until then, she had been an average runner hampered by pre-race jitters and self-doubt. But on that day, after a pre-race warm-up where she repeated the phrase, personal best, personal best, personal best, personal best, out loud, she was suddenly in the flow and buoyed by a sense of calm and confidence. Kara is now a passionate teacher of yoga, meditation, and fitness who has been in the trenches of personal transformation as a mental strength coach for over 3 decades at her Verge Yoga Center, retreats, corporate trainings, and with teams such as Villanova University and Penn State, and has recently wrote the book On the Verge. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Kara.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. Hold on 1 second. There we go. Now we can see you much better. And just a big shout out to a couple of our Facebook live stream watchers, Jane Tabachnik. My good friend Jane introduced me to many wonderful people, and Gigi listening in. Thank you guys for listening. So Kara, so this is like back in college. So were you always a runner? Like, did you like to like run around the block as a little kid? Were your parents always chasing you saying like, Kara, slow down?
Well, I think I started walking at 9 months. So that was a good sign that I was going to be a mover. I've been a mover my whole life. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And when did you start running track?
Well, I was a figure skater first.
Oh, a figure skater. My mom was a figure skater when she was very young. And actually, I credit figure skating for why she has not broken her hip at 96 years old. Because she has fallen down like more times in the last 10 years than I can count. And amazingly, all she ever gets is a little bruised. And like everybody else her age and younger who has fallen the way she has fallen, they've all like broken their hips, broken their leg, like all kinds of stuff. And I think it's because as a figure skater, you learn how to fall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I fell all the time. Yeah. So I started skating in Coney Island. And I skated my heart out. Oh, I wanted to go to the Olympics so badly. And finally, when I was 15 years old, my parents sat me down. They said, so you're going to the Olympics? And I said, I don't think so. They said, okay, good. Well, this is getting really expensive. So here's some track shoes. And why don't you pick up a new sport? So I actually started teaching skating at the time, and then ran college track. And that's where I had this big epiphany of mine. So
Okay, cool. So tell us about this epiphany. I mean, you'd been running for a while before you had this real breakthrough. I mean, beating your own record by 6 seconds. That's pretty good.
So what happened for me was that I was an intense kid, but I wasn't super intense, right? I was kind of middle of the road in everything that I did.
Okay.
And so this last track race, I was at the University of Delaware. I was transferring to NYU. I knew it was going to be my last race. I was a sophomore, 19 years old, middle of the pack. Mid-distance runner. I did something different on that day. Instead of hanging out with my teammates and fooling around before the race, I took off on my own and started contemplating my short and very mediocre track career. And as a 19-year-old, you know, I was talking to myself and I said, come on, let's just beat our personal best. Why not? Just go out on top for yourself. And so what I did was I ran very slowly, very rhythmically, was breathing in rhythm, and started to repeat personal best like a mantra. I didn't realize what was happening. I stepped onto the starting line in a completely different state of mind I'd ever been in before a competition, not just a track race. I remember everything vividly. I remember the smell, the colors, the sounds. I remember the gun going off and taking off. And I took off that day. I ran the 800, so that's two laps. I remember having one thought during that race, and that was when I passed our best mid-distance runner. And I remember thinking, wow, she must be having a really bad day. Little did I know, I was running the race of my life. I crossed the finish line in third place. My teammates jumped on me. I had no idea why until I looked up at the clock and I saw 6 seconds had been shaved off my personal best. And I thought first thought was, wow, I did it. Awesome. Good for me. And then like within a split second, I thought, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? My last race, I decide to show up. I decide to tap my potential. And so from that day forward, I looked at that race from every angle. What did I do? What didn't I do? How did I step onto the track in this clear, confident, fearless state of mind? Where was the doubt and the fear that often dragged me down and held me back? What happened? And that sent me off on my journey.
Gotcha. Yes. So I'm curious. I mean, was it just something that came up from within you, or like, had you read something somewhere? Had you watched a Tony Robbins video? I mean, was there something that kind of, even if it was unconsciously, that kind of triggered you to sort of shift this way, or was it just something internal?
That's such a great question. The Tony Robbins came a couple of years later when I walked on the coals on 34th Street.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think there had been anything. Now, my grandmother, my nonna, I'm Italian, excuse me, had always been very interested in anything unconventional. So I think the gateways were open. But no, I mean, this really happened based on just this slow warm-up jog and this slow repetitive mantra. And so that's why. But here's the thing. It felt incredibly ordinary. This was what was so profound. I don't consider it a peak state. I really consider it a naturally occurring clear state of mind that I know now is available to me all the time. And to you too, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Okay, cool. You know what? I think we'll go out to the segment a little bit early because I think that's a good place for us to pause. And when we come back, let's talk about that clear state and what you learned afterwards and what kind of motivated you to then help other people get it, right? Because that's a lot of your life is not just you've discovered for yourself, but now you're helping other people to discover it for themselves.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Kara Bradley, author of the book On the Verge, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Are you concerned about epilepsy, autism, or diabetes? Are you interested in alternative treatments, the impact of health, or new therapies? Then tune into my show, Frank About Health. I'm Frank Harrison, the host. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc, where you learn more about these illnesses, treatments, the social impacts, and create a dialogue with each other. That's Frank About Health, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with Kara Bradley, author of the book On the Verge. Thank you, May. I see May Vu, one of my former guests, is listening to the Facebook live stream. I was just responding to your guest question about Facebook Live. Oh, I don't know, but May, if you have questions or comments, just type it into the comments field. You know, actually, this is for everybody. I mean, thank you, Gigi. Thank you, Jane, for listening. But if you guys have questions, you know, you could just type it into the comments field. I'll see it, and then I'll ask my guest, Kara, your question. So, Kara, as we were talking before, you were running your basically last track race of your college career, right? And then you basically sort of intuitively created a state where you were very clear, very present, ran the best race of your life and didn't even realize it until it was over. And then afterwards, you said you went back and kind of analyzed what had happened in so many different angles. How long did it take you to really fully understand afterwards what you had done?
About 30 years.
Just a little bit of time.
Right. This state, I actually feel like I fell back into this state of being. And this is what's so amazing about being human, about having this incredible human experience, is that there is this state, this natural state of our being that's available to us always. Mm-hmm. And it's happening all the time. And we can talk about this a little bit more.
Yes.
But on that day, I fell back into this very ordinary way of being alive that gave me access to this strength and this confidence I didn't think, right? I didn't think I had.
So you said before also that this was not a peak state. And for those of you familiar or not familiar with Tony Robbins, you know, he's really into like getting yourself into this peak state before you go out and do something so that you're doing your personal best. But you said this wasn't a peak state.
Well, it didn't feel like a peak state.
Didn't feel, okay.
It didn't feel like, it felt very ordinary. It didn't feel like I had created anything or that it was going to go away anytime. It felt eternal.
Okay.
This was more, I felt more genuinely me than I'd ever felt, and which is one of the reasons why I don't really call it the flow state either, because I've done a lot of research and a lot of my own experimentation with flow state, and so it has aspects of flow and in the zone, or, but I feel like it's much vaster than that.
Interesting. And so you now teach like yoga and meditation. Is this something, would you call it in some ways like a quasi-meditative state?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And so afterwards, you were looking at all of this and looking at, you know, what you sort of created for yourself. Were you then able to sort of recreate it or drop back into it for other things and other aspects of your life?
Right. So I went on this journey. You know, looking for how do I do this again?
Right.
And not only how do I do it again, but how do I do it on purpose? How do I access this state, not by accident, like what happened to me on the track? Because I knew in that moment, boy, if I could do this again in all aspects of my life, I'm going to shine big time. And then that's what took me on the journey. So I went from, you know, walking on coals with Tony Robbins to sitting in sweat lodges to having the chakras cleared and the, and you know, all the things that we do when we're on search, you know, in a search.
We're on our path.
And we're on that path. And so I really became a human potential junkie.
Okay.
Just looking for all ways to access. What does it mean to access my potential? Where is my potential? Why can't I access it all the time? And so I've been a big questioner.
Right. So I have to ask you, did you like completely annoy all your friends and family at the time? Did they think like you had lost it? Like what happened to Kara? She was like so normal before and now she's crazy.
Well, I still do. I think I really annoy people. Sorry.
You don't annoy me at all. I love it. I love having people like you in my life.
I've had more than one boyfriend say to me, "You're just never going to be satisfied." And I'm like, I guess I'm not, because I just want to... Just live this life, boy. As,
well, you know, the answer
that,
to that statement is, and what's wrong with that?
And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. So, what were you doing at the time? Like when you graduated college, what were you doing just to support yourself while you were on this search? Because you don't make a living by searching about your potential.
Right. Oh, that's a great question. So when I graduated, I became an investment banker because that's what you do when you're at NYU and you're in New York City.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I did that for a few years. And I remember my little cubicle, I looked out on Central Park and I saw the whole park from my window. And I kept thinking during the day, like, what are those people doing out there that they could be out there during the day?
Yeah.
And I'm in here inside, like I got to be out there.
Right.
And so I ended up quitting my job, dropping out of my MBA program. And I went back to teaching figure skating.
Oh,
yes. In New York City.
Wow.
My poor parents. I went from 60 to 0.
I bet.
But I fell into...
Well, good for you for having the courage to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at 23, it was like, what the heck? Let me just do this.
Yeah. Do it now before you have too many responsibilities and then it becomes more difficult. Yeah.
Right. Because it just wasn't answering it for me.
Right.
You know, it just, the money, I wasn't interested, you know, just that interested. So, I got involved with rollerblade at the very beginning of the whole rollerblade scene.
Yeah.
And I ended up teaching rollerblade and performing for rollerblade
for
a bunch of years worldwide, just doing these hip hop shows on rollerblades.
Oh, cool.
And teaching, putting together programs. So the figure skating, you know, that my parents made me hang up my skates at 15 actually started to pay the bills.
Did you go back to them and say, see, that actually was a good investment?
That's right.
wonderful.
Yeah.
So as you're going through this stuff and you're learning more of and understanding more about what you had done, how long did it take you to be able to like drop back in that state or recreate that state you had been in that day?
Right. So I've had glimpses of it You know, we all have glimpses of this natural, ordinary state all day long, by the way.
Oh,
we're just
really?
Not really taught to notice and recognize.
Ah,
yeah, this is happening all the time.
Okay.
And so I started to get closer and closer, skating the streets of New York City and skating all over the world and starting to really connect mind, body in a different way. I fell into the practice of yoga.
Okay.
And then into the practice of meditation. And now I was getting close. Yeah. Now I was able to have a practice, a predictable practice that I could work with every day that would help me to start to experience and become familiar with myself beyond busyness, beyond thinking, right? Beyond doubt and fear, sort of like I felt on the track that day.
Right.
Yeah.
So you say this is something that we can access at like any time, and we're just not taught to recognize it. But even with yoga and with meditation, it's more you're taught to create a state, but that doesn't teach you necessarily to recognize something that's naturally happening throughout the day. Mm-hmm. When did you really get that sense that like, oh, this is not just something you put yourself into, this is something that you can be in throughout the day when you're not meditating and not doing yoga?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because this is exactly what gets me going and exactly why I teach, right? I'm not interested in really teaching people yoga poses. I mean, yoga poses are great, you know, and they're fun to play with and they do have their values.
Right.
What I'm more interested is helping people to experience and recognize what's actually happening during a yoga pose.
Mm.
So we use these poses just as we use a breathing tool or we use different exercises to help us show up and look at ourselves. Right? So I'd love to explain to you, if I may,
what
the verge is, because I think that'll help me and help us all understand.
Okay, so before we get to that, then you titled your book On the Verge.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So years after my race, maybe 6-7 years after, 8 years after, my husband, then I got married, and my husband went and spent some time in the Amazon, in the Ecuadorian Amazon with an indigenous community.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I'm practicing a shamanistic lineage. It's Peruvian, but yes, I'm very familiar with those traditions in general.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, so maybe you can help me out here too.
Certainly.
So when he was down there, he recognized that when they were sailing down the rivers, the different tributaries, the indigenous people that he was with, they would often stop at these different spots of land where rivers met, where ecosystems collided. And when he came home and he did some research, he found out that these places on this spot of land where ecosystems collide is actually where nature thrives. There's the most diverse amount of species and just the most abundant plant life and wildlife. These places are called the Verge. And so when he said that, my eyes lit up.
Okay.
I said, oh my God, is there a verge here? Is there a verge near me? What would it feel like being the human potential junkie that I was? How would it feel to stand on the verge, to be there? And so this got me really thinking, like, where do we thrive?
So I can tell you from an energetic perspective.
Yes.
Why that happens, or one of the explanations I've heard of why that happens. So there are these things that run throughout the earth about 6 feet under the ground called ley lines, which, you know, people have mapped out that like a lot of these ancient sacred sites, if you look at them from a broad enough perspective, they like line up over thousands of miles of distance. And then there are different people have tried to sort of measure and map sort of these ley lines and how they go around the earth. And people who are energetically sensitive can often sense them or feel them. It's sort of, and I had this experience myself for the first time, not for the first time, but recently I had this experience. A friend of mine who has a farm upstate New York near Goshen, there's like the house on one side of the street and the farmland on the other side. And there's a trail that goes all the way through the farmland. Some of it's wild, out to this little river that cuts through the property. And I was on my way walking through the trail. And I'd walked this trail before, but then all of a sudden there was this area where there's this like little bump in the trail. And I stopped for a second. I felt like I walked through a wall or like a membrane of some kind. And then I looked to my right and I looked to my left. And there was a line of trees, like not right next to me, but there was one in the distance there and another one past it further to the right. And there was one on the left and another one on the left and a third one on the left and a fourth one on the left. And then all of a sudden it struck me, ah, there's a ley line here. You see, because this is where sort of energies come around. So what he's talking about of like two rivers coming together, typically in that section where there's this huge diversity, that's two different ley lines coming together.
From an
energetic perspective. Now, a lot of people think it's woo-woo, hokey, you know, not real stuff. But again, if it makes sense and you can see it in different places, maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thanks. Thanks for that story.
So, and just to relate to this idea of being on the verge, you know, how do you equate the verge in our life? I'm guessing, and again, I haven't read your book yet, but I'm guessing there is a very energetic component to this, that it's when sort of this energetic state maybe of mindfulness and presence and something else sort of all come together and crisscross, that's when you drop into the verge. Am I close?
You are so close. You're cool. There.
Cool. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, great. Well, you know, it's time for us to take another commercial break. If anyone would like to call in and ask Kara a question or myself a question, of course, our call-in number is 877-480-4120. Again, you can go to my Facebook timeline, Sam Leibowitz in New York City. That's Leibowitz spelled L-I-E-B-O-W-I-T-Z. For our Facebook Live video, we've got several viewers now. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
Are you looking for a show where people talk about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Well, then you have come to the right place, because the Rob and Callie Show is doing just that. For the last 10 years, Rob and I have been having our own version of Sunday morning therapy sessions on the phone, and now we're bringing it to the radio.
So tune in and call in live Wednesdays 8 to 8:30 on talkradio.nyc.
And that's Eastern Standard Time, so join us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're having a wonderful conversation today with Kara Bradley, author of On the Verge, and we're just getting into what is On the Verge. So you spoke last segment about how, you know, the verge is sort of this nexus between two tributaries of a river coming together where there's extreme biodiversity and lots of plant and animal life and stuff. So how does that relate to this experience that you had of dropping into the state or being aware of the state where you were able to do your personal best?
Yeah. So once I found out that the verge existed, that there's actually a place where life thrives, I again went on my search. Well, where do I thrive? And so after lots of searching and practicing and inquiry, I recognized very simply that the verge is this moment.
Okay.
And when I can arrive fully in this moment, I thrive.
Okay.
And what happened to me on the track those years, so many years ago, was that I had just dropped into presence completely.
Okay.
And when I can show up, wake up, show up, it's the subtitle of my book, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. When I can wake up to this moment, show up fully, open and available, I shine. We shine. We access the intelligences coming through us all the time.
Yeah. It sounds almost like Eckhart Tolle's experience on the park bench when he experienced that moment of truly being present in the now, when all of a sudden everything shifted and changed for him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very influential book in my life for sure.
Ah, okay, cool. Yeah. So we like the same kind of folks. Mm-hmm. So once you're able to kind of distill this crystal bit down of like its real presence, how then were you able to, especially in our world where there's so much distraction and so many things plugging for our attention, were you able to just drop into the presence, or did you actually have to develop some tools or some practices or something to really help you to be present, to be able to get back to that potential?
Right. Yes. Moving my body. I've been doing it my whole life.
Ah, okay.
And then practicing yoga was the gateway to then my mind in a different way, and with a systematic practice, with a ancient practice of meditation. And so now I'm starting to develop these tools, not just, you know, flying down the street on my rollerblades, which is amazing, but actual predictable practices that I can go to every day to start to cultivate the capacity to show up on purpose, to be present in this moment.
What for you purpose, what for you individually is the biggest challenge to overcome with being present?
I think it's really trusting. I think we just lack trust that we can just be here now. And this is what I recognize in myself and then in the students that I teach.
Right, right.
When we can start to recognize these glimpses, when we're already present every day, you know, we may pause and smell the coffee. It may be the sunset that takes our breath away. It may be the moment when we catch somebody's gaze and hold it. These are moments of presence that are already happening for us. This is how I teach. This is how I spend my day. It's not in beating myself up anymore to say, you're not present. You're so busy. You're full of fear. You're this, you're that. It's actually, I'm looking for those moments when time stands still, when I'm standing right there on the verge in this moment. Right? Because we feel it, right?
Yes.
It's like standing on that ley line. You felt it.
Yes.
We feel this all the time.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm curious, because you're now a teacher, at what point did sort of your search for this presence turn into, oh, now I know how to do this, I can help other people with this? Was there a particular moment, or was it just sort of a gradual development?
Wow. Great question. I've been teaching since I was 15 years old. Remember, I had to give up my skates as an amateur skater, and I started teaching people. So my entire life, I've been teaching people movement disciplines. And I've always seen that when we move our bodies rhythmically through skating, yoga, running, whatever it is, swimming, we shift. We shift because we're able to drop down. Our mind settles. Our nervous system settles. And people, I see people come alive. I know what it feels like experientially to come alive from movement. So I've always been teaching it, but I never really understood what it was I was teaching until I really started to dive in myself through these ancient practices whose lineage, the lineages have the words for me. You know, for me, it was always so much just sensation in my body.
I was able
to tap into the ancient knowledge of actually what was happening mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Right, right. So it's kind of like you had, your body had the knowing that actually bypassed the brain, but then studying these ancient practices, it's like, oh, okay, now the brain can understand what the body already knew.
Right. Ah, right. Okay. And that we could do this on purpose.
Yeah.
This is our birthright. Our birthright is to feel awake, yes, alert,
yes,
at ease,
yes,
and connected.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So what's, can you give maybe our audience some little thing they can try and practice to give them, you know, move them a step closer to that, or to help them to be a little more aware of that presence?
Yeah. So I recommend starting to notice those moments every day when you feel awake, when you feel, or as I usually put it, fully alive. What are those moments that are happening when you feel fully alive? Before you go to bed at night, you know, many of us practice gratitude, you know,
yes,
and we go to bed and we think about three things we're grateful for.
Mm.
How about thinking about three things that made you feel really alive that day? And it could have been the really good slice of pizza.
Yeah.
That works. Right? Or
right,
that moment when you when you were on that last, you know, couple of steps of your run, or whatever it is, the sun that you felt on your face as you were pausing at the stop sign.
Right.
You know, any moment. Because as we start to recognize these moments, they're going to start popping up more.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, this is, I teach from kind of the back door, mindfulness from the back door, where many
okay,
of us understand mindfulness and we're always thinking, okay, I got to pay attention,
yeah, yeah,
but I'm so distracted.
Right.
Well, how about we look at it from the opposite? How about we start recognizing moments of presence?
Interesting. You know, it's interesting hearing you say that. And now I reflect back to today for me, and I had that moment, and I had to get up early this morning. I have a networking group that meets twice a month regularly, early on Thursdays. And I got up this morning. I was really kind of tired. I got into the subway. Thankfully, I got a seat on the train. And I just sat and meditated till I got to my stop, or just before my stop. And then afterwards, when I opened my eyes and I looked around, like everything was crisp and sharp and clear. And that was what you're describing. Like that was that moment for me of that presence. Not when I was meditating necessarily, but the moment I opened my eyes afterwards.
Brilliant. That's it.
Yeah.
So what happens when we show up in this moment, when we're present, is that we see life, we experience life in what I call high definition, high voltage living.
Mm.
It's as if we're plugged in to that ley line.
Yeah.
When we're present, the smells are stronger, tastes are more distinct. Everything that you see is brighter, more vivid. This is how we can walk through the world from a state of presence and a wakefulness.
Right.
So thank you for saying that. That's spot on.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm curious, what sort of was the impetus for you to just finally decide to write a book? Because, I mean, you're already teaching, you're already working with people. Why did you decide to write a book?
Well, I felt like it was in me to speak in a broader to a broader audience, but also as a yoga teacher, I mean, many of you out there probably, you know, practice yoga. The teacher only gets sound bites. I only have five breaths in each pose to speak to students before I've got to move them to the next pose. And I don't want to talk their ear off the entire class.
Right.
So I felt like I had just so much to say that I wasn't able to express in a yoga class or even a meditation class.
It
was the call for me to finally put it down on paper.
Wonderful. And what kinds of reactions have you gotten so far from people from the book? I mean, you know, has it been something that people kind of get, they love it, or has it been like confusing for people? Are they like, yeah, it's about time?
Yeah, I think I've gotten all three, you know. I mean, there are definitely people who are like fully alive, because I talk about being awake and fully alive in the book. What does it feel like?
Right.
We're never asked that question.
Right.
What does it feel like for you to be awake and fully alive? And so for some people, you know, I may get kind of that glossed over look. Like, oh, yeah, I really enjoyed your book. That was really great.
Right.
But for others, they do. They look at me like, wow, okay, yeah, I'm getting this, but I want more. And so what I provide in the book are the all these primer practices. These the primer practices that I talk about are the practices you can do before you ever actually sit down to a formal meditation practice.
Mm.
So there are little glimpses. There are ways to glimpse presence throughout the day. And it may be as simple as sky gazing. Taking a moment or two, you're okay. sitting on the bus, like look out the window and look at the sky. The vastness just opens you up just by looking.
Yes. Yes. Even if you live in New York City where you're surrounded by skyscrapers, you can still catch a little piece of sky there.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So it's helping people into that state of presence before they even like, you know, close their eyes and start counting breath in a meditation practice.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. I love that because it really sort of helps to take those practices that typically, you know, people become monks and they go into these forests and the caves to meditate. And I feel like now is the time to take those practices out of the forests and caves and bring it into daily life. And how do we cultivate the same kind of presence in places like New York City or, you know, cities around the globe?
Yes.
So that's wonderful. It's wonderful to have that. Though, is it easier for you to do it maybe when you're in a more nature-oriented or more serene place, or it doesn't really matter? You've gotten to that point where regardless of what's going on around you, you're able to really feel that presence and being in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me now, I would much rather be present than be distracted. It's so much more fun to be present in life, even if the moment it ain't so good. You know, it's still better to be present and show up for it.
Right.
So for me, I'm just always looking for how do I just show up right now.
Okay, regardless of what's in the background.
Right.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, great. Well, believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last commercial break of the show. So when we come back, I have a couple of final questions for you, and then we'll let you know where you can find your book and we'll have some closing thoughts from Kara Bradley. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Kara Bradley, author of the book On the Verge. So, Kara, we've been talking about really being present to your life, recognizing those moments when you're here fully, and I guess kind of keeping track of them and reminding ourselves of like, oh, this is a way when I'm in this situation, I tend to be more present. I'm more with it. I'm more here. So I'm curious what kind of advice you would have for people who are going through extreme emotional upheaval about being present. Because sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, well, when things are fine, I have no problem. But, you know, when my boyfriend breaks up with me or you know, when I lose my job, you know, that's really uncomfortable and difficult and painful. And I can't be present when that stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what's the choice?
I mean, I like when you put it that way.
Right? What is the choice? You know, Pema Chodron said, I love her. She said, we keep missing the moment that we're in. Right? To me, that like woke me up. I was like, whoa, I don't want to miss my life. I know it's going to be shorter than I want it to be, regardless.
Yeah.
So even if we're in the middle of chaos, to try to numb ourselves so that we miss precious moments, right? We can't get these moments back. So I know that's easy for me to say, you know, when life is calm.
Right.
Because who wants to sit in the uncomfortable and the unfamiliar? But one thing I talk about, and one of the reasons why I love teaching yoga, is that we get to practice living in uncomfortable and unfamiliar situations on our yoga mats, and also through meditation. We purposefully put ourselves in the fire, in the chaos, in our practices, so that when it happens in life, because it will, for all of us, we are already practiced. We know how to recognize the chaos, the fire. And so what do? Well, if we've got practices, we know we can always come back to our breath. The breath will always help us calm our nervous system, will always help us shift beyond the doubt, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. It's a matter of gaining perspective. For so many of us, sitting in the muck is never going to help us. So gaining perspective, whether it be just going out for a walk or looking up at the sky or recognizing that this too shall pass, you know, this is how we start to engage in life, as opposed to constantly pushing, forcing, and fleeing our lives.
Yeah.
So while it may not be the answer that anybody wants to hear, I've always heard you want to lean into it.
Right. And the thing that I've seen, though, is that the more present we stay with it, it actually takes less time to get through whatever upheaval or turmoil we're going through. That it's only when we distract ourselves and take ourselves out of that moment that then that actually stretches or increases the amount of time that we end up in turmoil.
That's right. That's right. And if you talk to anybody that's been through real tragedy, very often they will express those moments as being some of the most alive moments they've ever felt in their lives. Because when life hits us from the side and we are just slammed to the ground, oftentimes it's when we wake up. And it may just be a moment or two, but if we can really recognize this is a moment where I am going to feel more alive than ever. And I've been in those moments there, and there's an incredible peace that emerges in the space of aliveness. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. What's been your biggest challenge staying in that present moment?
I think for me, it's often doubt. The doubt. Is this real? Can I stay? Now I feel like I've gotten past a lot of it, although I'm sure I'm going to be tested again. And it could be around the corner. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. I don't know. But for me, it's the doubt. Is this real? And I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, for me, it's so visceral. When I get caught in my head, in my doubt, it really shuts me down.
Like, you're such a body-centered person because movement and everything. So it's like when you get in your head, all of a sudden the mind starts chattering, and that's kind of what does it for you. Though when you say getting tested, I'm just going to work on your language a little bit, because I don't believe life tests us.
I
believe it's as we expand and grow, we're able to handle bigger and better challenges, so they just naturally occur, because now we're at the point, whereas maybe 10 years ago we might not have been able to handle that challenge, so now we are. And so it's just the next natural step in our evolution.
Yes, thank you for that.
No,
that's great. I know when I was writing my book, I went through many times of, who am I to be saying this? What I'm saying is, you know, it's pretty big stuff. I'm pretty bold in a lot of ways to say, listen, you know, we are already awake and alive. We just need to show up and recognize it.
I love that perspective.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. So now that you've done the book, is out. When did the book come out?
2 months ago.
Oh, just 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't
realize
it was a baby. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. what comes next? Or do you like not think that way? It's like whatever comes next because you're in the present.
Yeah, I'm really riding the wave of this book launch and just putting myself out there in every way that I can to see how it sits with people, where it lands. I have no idea where this is going to land. I know one of my meditation teachers, Michael Carroll, who's fantastic teacher out there. He wrote Awake at Work and Fearless Leader.
Oh, okay.
And he looked at me. He looked me in the eyes when he read it. And he said, are you sure you know what you're putting out there? And I said, yeah, I think I am. He said, okay, because you got to be ready. Be ready because you got to be clear as a whistle boy because you're making some claims out there. And you know, so and I've been preparing for that. Okay. And the jury's still out. I don't know. I'm just going day by day right now.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I wish you all the success in the world with your book. And
thank you.
I really look forward to it. It's been great having you on here. If people want to learn more about you, where can they find information about you? And if they want to get the book, where can they find the book?
Yeah. So my website is carabradley.net. Mm-hmm. And that's Cara with a C, bradley.net.com. I also have a free app. That's associated with my book. Yeah, really
wonderful.
Exciting. It has audio practices, video practices called On the Verge.
Wonderful.
App Store now. It's coming out on Android in like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so On the Verge is the app, and the book is On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. Mm-hmm. Available everywhere. I also did an audio book. I read it. That's on Audibles.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
oh,
and
great.
So, you know, just out there on social media all over the place and just trying to connect with people. So I'd love to hear from you
Wonderful.
All.
Wonderful. So I'm just curious, in your personal life, have things shifted from where you started, where everyone thought you were a little crazy for being such a human potential junkie to now, are they saying, oh wow, Cara, you got some good stuff here?
Yeah, I think so. But you know, the thing is, I've got so much more.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh great. All right, well, you can come back on when you get your next book done, okay?
It's never ending.
No, it's not. Yeah. It is because human potential is never ending, isn't
it? That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who do you look up to? Who inspires you?
Wow. I'm stumped. I've got so many people that I follow and that I love that I'm reading. I love anybody that provokes and prods and pokes holes in our belief systems.
Okay, so who's somebody who's written something that like blew your mind? Like
Krishnamurti.
Oh, Krishnamurti. I love Jay Krishnamurti.
I love provokers like that. I follow Adi Ashanti. He's a meditation teacher who kind of turns things around for people. Eckhart Tolle was one that I love. And I love the ancients and the mystics.
Yeah.
Very into mystics as well.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Cara, for coming on the show today, especially for coming into studio all the way from Philly.
Yeah.
Always nice to have people
in here.
Thank
you, Sam. It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful. Anyway, and I also just want to take a quick moment to thank all of my Facebook listeners. Got to get the light out of the way. So yes, thank you all for tuning in on the Facebook live stream. I will be back next week, I believe. Who's my guest next week? I don't know my guest next week, but I think they might be in studio, so we'll probably do a live stream. And I can't announce it just yet because it's not set up, but guys, like, stay tuned, sign up for the newsletter, because I think I might like just have a really big name coming on my show in July. Somebody who is a very, very well-known spiritual teacher who's coming back to New York City, and a friend of mine said she was going to help me get her on the show, knows her personally. So once we know that's going to happen, I'm going to let you all know. So if you're not getting our newsletter, please go to the website talkradio.nyc and sign up for the newsletter. It comes out twice a week, just lets you know what the shows are going to be about. So this way, when we have a big announcement, you'll be the first to hear about us. As well, please go to Facebook and like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/talkingalternative, just strung together as one word, and you know, join the community. It's been great having having some of you there during the Facebook live stream. The video, make sure to post links to the video afterwards. Coming up next, we're going to be restreaming a show from Frank About Health. Yes, he took off last week, but he's going to be coming back, and he'll start having live shows again starting next week. So everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you concerned about epilepsy, autism, or diabetes? Are you interested in alternative treatments, the impact of health, or new therapies? Then tune into my show, Frank About Health. I'm Frank Harrison, the host. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc, where you learn more about these illnesses, treatments, the social impacts, and create a dialogue with each other. That's Frank About Health, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You've worked hard for what you have. Your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.